Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, November 26th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing this afternoon?
Were you testing me there? Not to tell the listeners before the program started, he says, I'm just not going to talk today. So I think he was giving me a little bit of a test there. Is that true?
And then I ask you a question. You asked me 2-3 days in advance. I mean, just like family.
Yes, what a day it
folks,
is.
With all seriousness, I mean, it is really fun to work with Melody and Todd. We are like family. And that's the way Melody treats everybody that I've known, dealt with her, just like family. So if that means anything to you, to me, that just shows trust. And that's all I can say. And that's a good thing.
Back at you. Even though I call you names.
Well, you ain't for a couple of days now, so I guess you're backing up the next good one. And can you believe we're just a couple of days from Thanksgiving?
No, but you know something that's even more strange is with the next program you and I do, it will be December.
So wow.
This is the last November day. Yeah.
The years go by.
Anyway.
So, a month anymore seems like a week used to be like. You know, it's going. That's all.
Gold today.
A month is nothing any longer.
No, it isn't.
Yes,
gold today. I'm excited. Gold up 7:30 today at 1,463. We didn't have any doubt, ladies and gentlemen. So, silver was up 21 pennies at 1,717. Platinum was up 12 bucks at 912. Palladium was up 14 at 1,817. And the winner of the day was up 1.34%, and that was platinum. So, a good day for platinum, but a good day for all the precious metals. We have the USDX today was down 0.04 at 98.26. Crude oil was up 33 cents at 58.34. And the paper markets today, let's bring them up. The Dow was up 54 points, 28,120. The NASDAQ was up 15 at 8,647. And the S&P was up 6 at 3,140. 10-year yield, 1.74%, down 0.02. Oh, mercy, mercy. Everything else was just a non-event. And Bitcoin, still holding that 7,000 range, but it was still down 1.5% today. And there was a lot of reports that came out today. We probably won't do a live show tomorrow. However, if something like today, they had the White House down on lockdown at the White House because, you know, somebody entered the airspace. Well, if something like that major happened, it really was major, probably something other than somebody that's just learning how to fly went into their space. I don't know what the cause was. Something major, yes, we will do a program live. If gold went up 50 bucks tomorrow, we will be live. So if there's anything, you know, something of some sort of a, you know, I don't want to say catastrophic event, but something that's truly meaningful, we will be here live. But other than that, I do expect that we will have a replay Wednesday, Thursday, most likely Friday. But we're not sure yet. So you'll just have to tune in. And again, here we go. We have Trump says near deal with China. Oh, we're back to that again. And, you know, whether you believe we are, whether we're not, I guess we won't know until the ink is on the paper. We had the U.S. goods trade deficit. That fell sharply in October. Both exports and imports declined. And, of course, this was, you know, there's a couple of ways you can look at it. The Commerce Department said today that the goods trade gap dropped 5.7% to $66 billion last month. Exports fell 0.7% after decreasing 1.3% in September. Horse exports were depressed by a drop in shipments of foods and feeds, likely soybeans. Automobile exports also declined, and of course they're going to blame that on the 40-day strike at General Motors. There were also decreases in exports of capital and consumer goods. Goods imports tumbled 2.4%. This is what's coming in here, 2.4%. And of course, they're looking at again blaming motor vehicles, industrial supplies, and consumer goods. The shrinking trade gap is kind of positive for the calculation of the GDP, which is supposed to be out later in the week, so we'll just see what type of an impact that it might have. Retail inventories, excluding motor vehicles and parts, the components that goes into the calculation of gross domestic product. Of course, we saw that jump last month. So, you know, it's all fuzzy math, ladies and gentlemen. You know, if they don't like it, they'll change it. They'll, you know, readjust it. GDPs, you can change the GDP three times until they get the final number. So, in the world of technology today, you shouldn't have three revisions on GDP. Not in today's world when you have the whole stock market that's based on algorithms. So, anyway, Butch.
Yes. And I want to make a point here that the folks, wait, the reason she's off tomorrow, she's fixing dinner for all of us at 2 o'clock for Thanksgiving. The reason she'll be off Friday because she'll be washing dishes all day.
Yeah, and I'm going to do it from the hospitality home of Butch Paul.
Yeah. I'll have to let Marcia know about that then, won't I?
See there, gotcha.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you did.
I gotcha there.
And I would like to make a comment about a dear friend that I've known for years that passed away. You probably know this, but Tex Mars passed away this past Saturday, and I know most folks probably know that, but Tex Mars was not only a fellow talk show host, and he written several books. He spoke at a seminars, and he and I knew each other pretty well by phone. And when Marcia was real sick, Melody, and that's when she first got sick a bunch of years ago, Tex Mars actually called me from home and said he wanted to pray with me. And I didn't know Tex that well yet. I just may talk to him on the phone maybe once or twice. And he called to do that. He had a good heart. He had a good heart for people. But Tex Mars is going to be sadly missed in the battle for the glory of Christ and for the sake of the country. And I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. I'm sure you read his books and you know who I'm talking about. It's just a sad thing to see another warrior in Christ leave, although it's a happy thing to know that he told his wife that he was ready to go and wanted to go. So, you know, the Wanda was, I talked to her yesterday. She was, of course, hurt. But she was thrilled to know that he was where he wanted to be. Now that's a good testimony, isn't it, to leave behind.
It sure is.
And but you know, Mark, we missed. Mark,
absolutely. Missed. And you know, I think this is a prime example, and of something that I heard a discussion about this morning about how we can't seem to. There's been such a strong divide, and that people are almost incapable anymore. They have no empathy, and they're almost incapable of understanding why someone else might believe or try to understand why they think the way they do. And I think he has done so much and dedicated so much of his time, energies, and everything into trying to, as you said, you know, in many ways, educate people. And it doesn't necessarily mean we have to agree with everything. But look how many people, as you, have helped folks understand and come to Christ and come to an understanding of what's happening to this country. And and I think and I'm meaning this in all sincerity, it's a good thing And it's it shows the impact that he had in helping people come to understandings of many things.
Yes.
And it just goes to show you, we can disagree, but we have to have that understanding.
And it showed the type of heart
and compassion
that he had for people. He had a compassion,
yes,
and a love for people, and that's what matters.
Yeah.
And he did.
Absolutely.
And folks, no one agrees on everything. I mean, Marsha disagrees with me quite often. Even Melody does. Of course, they have to be wrong once in a while, you know. But anyway.
No, not me.
But with all sincerity, when you love someone,
yeah,
you may disagree on some points, but that doesn't defray the love. It doesn't make any less.
Mm-mm.
You learn to love each other, respect each other. When somebody earns respect, whether you agree with them or not, you give them a benefit of the doubt, and
absolutely,
you try to work with them. You don't just tell them to take a hike.
Toss them away.
Yeah, you don't do that. That's the true love. I mean, if Christ did that to me and you, we wouldn't last 5 minutes.
But, I mean, we're living through this time that we hear families are coming apart because they don't agree on politics. And
yeah,
you know,
right,
instead of saying that we're trying to understand where the other person is coming from, you know, I saw something online today. It says, well, you can't live a positive life if you view things negatively. And I'm thinking, you know, sometimes reality is not negative. It's just as positive. It's just how you view.
It is positive.
It is positive.
It is positive. It's just it's how,
absolutely,
you see the future and who your faith is in. If your faith is in this world today, if your faith is in the money system, you're in a world of hurt people. That's true. If your faith isn't in that God is still on the throne, that His Son is still not saving souls, if your faith is in this world, in the things of this world, according to the Bible, you of all men most miserable. It's not negative to see the truth. Melody, when I see things happen and I see it fulfilling Scripture, it gives me a thrill to know my God's word is true. So I don't see it as negative in the sense that it depresses me. I see it as something that my job is to warn the people about and going down the road.
But it's an example of how people are not trying to understand. And again, we have families. In my own family, I've seen sisters don't barely talk to one another because they disagreed politically. Now, how dumb is that? But the sad thing is, that's they're not the only ones, and that there's it's happening more and more. And it's sad. So, anyway,
it really is sad. I'm following on to some good news for all of us. Last night, I started on KTW, 6:30 a.m. and 96.5 FM, 11 p.m. Pacific time, with our broadcast rebroadcast on there, and of course, two of your programs played on Thursday and Friday. And Monday night, we start on 3.215 WWCR at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern, rebroadcast my program, and then your program will be up 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern on 3.215 that we do together on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I'll be getting three nights repeat, and you get two nights with me on there with you doing your program on 3.215, a great signal, a great powerful signal at nighttime.
Well, that's awesome.
Starting the 8th, we'll be doing the same thing with, I think, three of Wilkins Communications radio stations. They'll be doing a repeat at different times during the day and night. Actually, six stations altogether. So maybe even seven, but six for sure. You'll be on there then two nights a week, you and I together, to fill in the two gaps that I'm not there myself live, or as a repeat just by myself. So I'm looking forward to that, really. I mean, I think it's going to benefit everybody as far as reaching more people, and may benefit you some too, getting that more outreach for you too. And that's the whole idea, is reaching the people with the truth. And that's all I can say. You know, I had a guest on last night, Joseph Meyer, such a sweet gentleman. And he said everything you were saying and explaining things to people that, you know, where we're heading. And he doesn't point punches.
Mm-hmm.
But he said in Venezuela, one silver dollar, when things collapse, would buy someone $250 worth of food. One silver dollar. But that much in the way of goods in Venezuela, because their money was no longer any good at all. So wisdom says it could happen here, and knowledge says it's going to happen here. So I think preparation is a key word, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if we're going to talk about this later on the program. We have Black Friday, 48 million Americans still have debt from last year.
Yep. Yep, I won't cover that. But, you know, a gentleman named Jason LaBelle said this, and I thought this was powerful. America does not need to see the tax returns of a billionaire who becomes a public servant. America needs to see the tax returns of public servants who become millionaires while being in public office. And public servants. Isn't that a good statement?
Yes.
Public servants become millionaires. Now, the key word is public servants become millionaires while the rest of us struggle to make it. Something wrong.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, yeah, but you know the sad thing is, it doesn't really matter if we saw them or not because nothing would be done about it. That's
no,
the sad
about
thing.
It. That's true. Yeah. That's very true. But that was such an important statement. I thought that the public servants, people who should, I always figured that the boss made more money than the servant. That's what I was always grew up thinking. You know, the guy that owns a business, the guy that's doing the hiring, makes more than the one he's paying. Boy, it doesn't work that way with our service, does it?
No, it does not.
Wow. Anyway, we'll get me on
but
that.
We let it.
I mean, that's
really, you know, everybody, you know, we can point fingers and say they did this, they did that, but truly, you know, it all comes down to us.
It does. It does. The blame lies square with the people. That's all there is to it. Mm-hmm. If we don't hold them accountable, no one else will. And they certainly won't.
So, you know, they fed us a line that it's all about us. We want to give you this. We want to give you that. We're going to do this for you. Government's here to help and all this. And people bought it hook, line, and sinker. And here we are today. So it truly isn't any big surprise. And we're going to just keep taking it until there's nothing more for them to give us. Yeah, because they'll be broke.
I just wish I could have got a job where I worked one term, 2 to 4 or 6 years, and then got full pay the rest of my life, plus free health care. That was a good job.
That's a very good job.
Tell you what, now, it's amazing. It's amazing how that works. But anyway, I guess move on. You get me mad here in a second. I don't want to get mad already. But this is just a sad state of affairs in the country, and the people become so complacent.
Yep.
That they don't care about these things, and our children are going to be worse off than we are even. And Melody, that's the saddest thing to think about. You know, as you just found out, one of our dear friends is going to become a grandpa. He's just become a grandpa today, I think, or a couple of days ago. That grandchild is going to face things you and I never dreamed of if the world goes on long enough. And that's really sad.
Well, it truly is. I mean, somebody's going to have to pay for this somehow, some way.
Well, with 10,000 baby boomers retiring every day, 10,000 a day, who's going to pay the benefits?
Yep.
How are they going to keep it going? Keep printing more money and throw it at us?
Yep. And there was a USA Today about a significant American phenomenon. It's our workforce is dying faster than any other wealthy country. And we're not healthy either. Well, I know it. I just wanted to get that in.
Oh, I didn't know it or not. Okay.
I did. It will be brought back just like family.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Butch, going into the program, we were talking about, you know, the older generation and, you know, the workforce. And, you know, the workforce is dying faster than any other wealthy country. Now, this study shows that Americans are dying from drug and alcohol abuse and suicides faster than at any point in roughly the past 20 years. The life expectancy in the United States is 78.6 years as of 2017, and it is well off the average of Japan, which is 84.1, France is 82.4, Canada is 81.9, and other high-income countries. Midlife mortality from drug overdoses increased by 386% from 1999 to 2017.
Wow.
Now, this new study was published today in the Journal of the American Medical Association. And, you know, the question was, what can we do? The prescription for this country is we got to help these people. And if we don't, we're literally going to pay with our lives. Well, you know what? The Fed is getting ready to legalize marijuana. You have, it's just astounding. This new study by researchers at the Virginia Commonwealth University showing that mortality rates for U.S. adults ages 25 to 64 continue to increase, driving down the general population life expectancy at least 3 years consecutive years. I mean, we are not a healthy. This is what happens to when a country does good. We just kind of, you know, we just lead ourselves down the path of drinking and drugs and.
Well, that's exactly what Scripture is saying in Hosea 4:7. It said, "The more they prosper, the more they forgot me."
Yep.
That's the way it is, and that is that. We become, as I read to you in the Evolution of Nations, they become apathetic and selfish.
But let me ask you a question though. But you look at Japan; I wouldn't consider them a Christian nation.
Their lifestyle is different. They are more healthy in the way of eating and one of the things they do. They're not the Western culture. The junk food. I mean, we have how many fast food restaurants could you name in a matter of a minute if you started naming them?
Yeah.
You know, and so yeah, there's a difference in the culture and what we eat and the junk food you buy in the store. I mean, sincerely, it's unbelievable the stuff we put in our body and think we're eating something good. I know one lady probably weighs 300 pounds now that her main diet is tater chips and dip. Now you know that's good for you. You know, and all I can say is she's killing herself. She's digging her grave with her mouth every day. So that's a problem, and that's a sign of that's a sign of moral decay, because the Bible says your body, if you're a Christian, is the temple of the Spirit. You don't harm your body, because if you do, it's a sin. You don't intentionally harm your body, and although I try to watch what I eat, who knows what we're getting anyway? But I'm doing the best I can. I weigh the same weight now I did when I got out of high school. But I'm a whole lot older than I was in high school, too. So, anyway.
But the part that I believe that is important to understand about this study, they were most pronounced, the deaths in the Midwest, in the industrial Midwest, the 13 Appalachian states, and Upper New England. They attribute this partly to the decline in manufacturing jobs and the opioid epidemic.
Yep.
Certainly without a job, that's what you're going to do. Of the top 10 states with the highest number of excess deaths in the 25 to 64 age range, meaning deaths above projections based on U.S. mortality rates, 8 were in the Rust Belt or Appalachia. Half of the excess deaths were concentrated in the latter region, the Ohio Valley, comprising Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, accounted for 1/3. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I do come back that it's back to our jobs, it's back to the health of this nation financially that has affected the health of the people physically. They give a whole lot of numbers here about the midlife mortality from drug overdoses, from hypertensive diseases increased by 80%, obesity by 114%, suicides. There are a lot of lives snuffed out in prime years, mm-hmm. and a long-range threat to an economy that ranks number one globally is gross domestic product. So yep, not only are employees, are employers seeing more likely to see premature death in their workers, but also greater illness rates and greater disability. And that puts U.S. businesses at a disadvantage against businesses in other countries that have a healthier and more productive workforce. So
I can say this, too. A lot of this, especially the drug use, in the most places, including West Virginia, is depression. People are out of work and they get depressed and they I think is a way to escape it, and it hooks them right into it. West Virginia has one of the highest opioid epidemics in the country, and again, it's in the extreme southern part of the state where the coal mines were the backbone of the economy, and they're just about going. So, whatever the cause, I think depression, frustration, and who knows, maybe even anger is tied in that. So they do something to relieve it, and that's where we end up.
This report also talks about the U.S. mortality rate. Root causes include lack of education and living wages, which is, you know, again, it is true. It shows the mortality rates among those younger than 25 and older than 64 have decreased. That might point a finger at the country's dysfunctional healthcare system for working adults, because many in those other age groups can be covered by either the Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIP, or Medicare. They also said noticeable increase in those is yet another indicates of the seriousness of the problem the U.S. faces. Even if Americans were to reverse their recent backward trend, one estimate says that at its rate of longevity growth from the past several years, it would take the United States more than 100 years to catch up to the average life expectancy other wealthy countries reached by 2016. So this isn't something that just can be reversed overnight. And even if we have jobs coming back, we're still in this situation. And the really sad thing is, if it took 100 years, just think of all these jobs that are going to be replaced by technology. So the problem is this report, this study, shows that It's economics. It's the economy. It's that's affecting. But no one sees. If we talk about it, Butch. Oh, that's negative news.
No,
that's
it's
negative.
Not. It's fact.
I don't want to be. I don't want to be positive because we're told this is the greatest economy we've ever had.
That's like telling a person that they got stage 3 cancer. Oh, you're okay. Don't worry about it. I don't give you negative news, but you're dying. That's ridiculous. That's not negative news. That's just a fact, and you should do something about it if you can. It isn't negative news. It's a truth. People, we got to get over this, I don't know what mindset, everything has to be sounding sweet all the time. If you did, you're in the wrong place for that. This is not a good world to be in if you want all the bumps out of everything, because unfortunately, life is real down here, and people get sick, and people die, and things happen. That's just the way it is.
You know, so I think
I don't like it, but it doesn't change it.
Now, this was, I'm not a fan of USA Today, but I think that was a pretty powerful report they had.
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah.
It is. You know, and if, this I guess another negative news, but Fifth Avenue, of course, everyone's heard of Fifth Avenue. At one time, that was the Holiday Center in the city of New York. New York, was it not?
It was.
It was. And it said that the shopping district has empty stores. Short term, this means more window displays. Long term, said in the fifth, in the early fall, there was a problem on Fifth Avenue. In a matter of weeks, about 750,000 daily visitors would descend to the northern part of the thoroughfare to see the famous holiday stores as an uplifting and nostalgic tradition for many and tourists in New York State and New Yorkers alike. But yet there was a depressing sight. Four colossal buildings that were vacant. Until recently, the buildings have been the flagship locations for Polo Ralph Lauren, Henry Mandel, Massimo Dutti, and Tommy Hilfiger. To put it bluntly, said Michael Hitchfield, who works in commercial real estate, it was mood killing. So the Fifth Avenue Association, which represents more than 120 establishments, sprung into action, deciding to do more of the Fifth Avenue does best, holiday windows. So they're putting up pretty windows in a vacant building. That's like putting a Band-Aid on a heart wound. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it looks good, and it may make you feel better, but it doesn't change it, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's just all part of these illusions that they have created. And, hey, you know, if people still haven't paid off debt from last year, half of the Americans, hey, 48, well, not half of Americans, but 48 million Americans still have debt from last year. That's, well, they could do it again this year.
50 million people are going to go in debt some more for what they think is a holiday that they have to go in debt for. And this again goes on to the fact that's why people are depressed. That's why there's more suicide during the holiday season. People are depressed. They want to be in with everybody else and do things that everybody else is doing. And Mel, it's insane to go in debt to give gifts you can't afford and stay in debt the next year and do it again. It's like the gentleman you mentioned about a $20,000 car. He hadn't paid the rest of them off. He's $40,000 in debt on a $20,000 car. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that's what Americans do. You know, and who doesn't like to give and get gifts? That's not what Christmas is supposed to be about anyway, but of course it is. But 50 million people in debt from year to year. Gracious.
And you know that guy.
That defies common sense.
And you know that guy who has that 45, and that gentleman who has that $45,000 loan on a $20,000
right.
vehicle because he rolled over the debt three times. He has debt that can't be paid. It's no different than
That's
our
true.
Government. And eventually the day of reckoning
That's
will
very
come
true.
From him. Because his car is going to get older, but he's still going to owe $45,000. And he wouldn't have done it if he would have had the money to put a bigger down payment on it. So he will be strapped. He'll be paying on 45 grand when his car is 40 years old. And he will...
Well, it's the same thing with...
He'll default on the debt. It's that simple.
He will. He's not going to have any choice since he becomes a lot of money all of a sudden. Like these people who roll their bills over to next year for Christmas. They're still going... They're going in deeper for the next year. The next year they'll be going in deeper to pay it off. Unless you pay up... And you keep getting more money. If you're using a credit card to pay for a credit card, it's like the United States does. They keep going deeper in debt and using fake money and credit cards, so to speak, to pay off something. Look like you're paying something off, and it's just rolling over the debt to become much bigger. It's ballooning every day, and that's just a sad state of affairs. You do that in your personal life, it's going to bite you in the butt really hard.
Yeah,
it is.
So.
And to make that point. The New York Fed adds $92.7 billion to the markets. Now, you wonder why the markets keep growing. Here's the reason why. It says Fed intervention includes $72.75 billion in overnight repurchase agreements and $19.95 billion in a 14-day repos. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York had added, that's made almost $93 billion to keep things going one more day, one more week. The intervention came in two parts, it said. Fed repo interventions take in treasury and mortgage securities from eligible banks in what is effectively a short-term loan of central bank cash collateralized by the securities. The Fed's interventions are aimed at ensuring that the financial system has enough liquidity and that short-term borrowing rates remain well-behaved, with the central bank's federal funds rate staying within 1.5 to 1.75 target range. The effective Fed funds rate stood at 1.55 on Monday. The broad general collateral rate for repo standing at 1.54 also for Monday. Melody, how long can you do that? It's fake.
Well, they're going to do it until spring. I hear you. This was supposed to be a 10-day deal. Then they extended
it. Yes, it
then
was.
And now we're into spring that they're going to continue to do this. And a large part of this overnight funds is going to these multinational these hedge funds and so forth, corporations, the big ones, not these little guys, but the big ones. And they're buying back their shares.
That's only holding the market up. It's not better times for everybody. It's time that the Fed's holding the market up. It keeps everybody wanting to think where everything's all right because the market's up. Folks, that's not affecting you and I at all. It means nothing to us.
And the thing of it is, people think because the stock markets, the algorithms, will keep the market from falling. If that was true, the Fed wouldn't have to be pumping all these billions of dollars and buying
that's
treasuries
right.
to keep it going. So it can
exactly
reverse
right.
itself. And there will be no floor because these computers that are programmed to buy to the upside are configured to sell on the downside. There will be no floor. There will be no days where you'll be able to talk in to say, oh, it's a good time to get in. So there will be no bottom until a bottom is found, which will probably be the abyss for most people if they're not protected.
That's very true. That's very true. Very true. And again, that it's insane. But the government's been doing this long, and you've not been alive. They've been doing it, just not maybe to this degree. But that's what's kept the market up as long as it has. Fake economic ideas built on nothing but hot air and fiat currency, which is nothing, and it looks good on paper until there's no longer a way to keep it going. But at this rate, we're talking almost $1 trillion. 0.7 billion. We're talking almost $100 billion. I'm sorry, but $100 billion, Melody, is. I can remember when the national debt wasn't that much. Back in the 60s, when I was growing up, I remember the national debt even. What in the world have we done to ourselves? And here's one of the reasons why. I got to go to break in a second. But I'm going to share the idea that men in this country would rather see their favorite football team win than they would vote for the right guy to win the office. I'm serious. So sad.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. It's sad that I can't talk. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Butch? What's next?
Well, again, I was getting into this article.
What we got?
Out of New York Post. Men would rather see favorite team win Super Bowl than candidate win election. Now, I've said this many times. If the football game's on, let the nation go to hell. That's what it boils down to, it's some of these people. More than a quarter of men in the U.S. would rather their favorite football team win the Super Bowl than their preferred candidate win the presidency, a new poll shows. In a phone survey of 712 adults, 28% of guys admitted to caring more about the big game than the next leader of the world, according to a press release from this Stetson Hill Sports Poll. Now, so women, by contrast, only 11% said they'd rather see their team win. It shouldn't be a surprise that many men care more about the outcome of the baseball or football season than the political future of the country. But it's alarming, said Rick Gentile, director of Stetson Hill Sports Polls. Melanie, that really is a sad statement, but I've always said this. Don't bother me with the facts, but my team's playing. And I mean this. This is true. Entertainment. I have nothing wrong with somebody rooting for a football team. I mean, I really don't. I'm not a football fan necessarily. I like to see our WVU win some games for a change. But I don't go into it, you know, and that's all. That's my whole day's not wrapped up in a football game. But unfortunately, 20% of the men in this country would rather see their team win than would elect a good president. Now, is that kind of a telling thing in the country?
Well, you know, it is. And it, you know, I really don't have much to say to that. I'm not a sports person. I like to watch football. But you have to be well-rounded in everything and understand, and they'll be the first ones to complain when they end up losing everything because they didn't pay attention on who was elected into office.
Very true. Very true. But that is what the statement is saying. But in a way, maybe some good news. Democrats getting cold feet as impeachment support evaporates. After weeks of secret impeachment testimony followed by public testimony from House Democrat cherry-picked witnesses, support for impeaching President Trump is sinking. Now, folks, we went for, what, 2.5, 3 years with Russia, and it finally died? Since while witnesses have testified that Trump requested Ukraine investigate former VP Joe Biden for corruption, support for impeachment has decreased significantly while opposition has increased. Among independents on the 538 average, support for impeachment topped out at 47.7% in the late October and now down to 41% over the past 3 weeks. So they're losing ground. Now, my question to you, Melody, and everybody out there, if the Democrats blow this, what would that mean for the future for the Democrats in the next election? Anything at all? Would it change anything?
Well, I'll tell you what, Michael Bloomberg, I mean, I'm not a fan of his, and I don't think he has the likability factor for people to vote for him. But he did come into the market because he does, I mean, he came into the campaign because he does know those that are running in the Democratic Party don't have a shot. And they don't have a shot. I don't know why anybody is scared of what they say. They're all their socialism. None of them are, you know. So
I don't know.
None of them can beat Trump. None of them can beat Trump. Not one of them can beat President Trump, in my view.
Even Obama said Biden hasn't got it. Obama said Biden hasn't got it. So that's that's kind of a direct hit between the eyes.
Yeah, but it certainly is.
It's really a sad situation. I wonder.
And I'll tell you what, Bloomberg is far more dangerous than any of those that have been on the stage claiming socialism programs and free for all, for everybody. Michael Bloomberg is far more dangerous. So he has changed many elections. His money goes into your county, your state, your attorney generals in these states, elections. He has changed he uses his money well politically. So, and we saw what he's done to New York. He's dangerous. He's a very dangerous man.
Yes, he is.
And that's my opinion. That's my opinion.
That's your
I don't want to get in trouble.
Your
I don't want to get sued.
All half copy. I'm going to say your opinion, all half of a cup of coffee somewhere I want it. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
so,
it is something that we don't think about. We think we're free people
because we gains vote. Steam, if he gains steam, I don't know.
Well, time will tell. Time will tell. But you know, we all time we're talking about we're free people because we can vote. Well, communist countries vote also. Hong Kong celebrates the humbling of Beijing. Democracy supporters top pop champagne and celebrate. Now, these folks, this is a communist nation. Hong Kong's pro-democracy camp won the overwhelming majority of the 452 council seats up for grabs. Turnout was a record 71% in a vote seen as a referendum on pro-Beijing government's handling of protests. The councils deal with local matters, but the result deals a symbolic blow to unpopular leader Carrie Lam. Councilors also... Conciliators also have 117 representatives on the 1,200-strong panel which chooses Hong Kong's chief executive. Lam, who has claimed that a silent majority supported her, promised to listen humbly to citizens' opinions. So, in a country that is really under Chinese rule now, don't tell me that you're free just because you can vote. That's not true. Somebody once said, I made a statement that no matter if you can vote, it doesn't mean that you change anything just because you elect somebody of a lesser evil than what you had before. So it's not a matter of changing a whole lot of anything. A guy named Herbert Marcuse said this: free election of masters does not abolish the masters or the slaves. That's kind of hard, but it is the way it is. So don't tell me that. See, the protesters in Hong Kong won a victory. They did. Where's it going to go to? I don't know. Now, would this mean that the riots are going to end now? What do you think, Melody?
I really don't know. I mean, I really don't know if it's going to if they feel that they won. I actually heard that they added another demand in addition, because there were originally five. I think there were originally five. They got one, and the demonstrations after they got the one, which was the extradition to China, China gave them that one, but there was still four or five other ones after that. And I heard that after this election they actually added another one. So I think they're going to test what they think they've won. But who do you think is more powerful, Butch?
Of course. I think China just trying to save face, perhaps, not want to be seen as a total dictatorship. No, they didn't really win. They were allowed this for a purpose. Now, in a sense, I guess
absolutely.
It did, too, because they made them back down. So, you know, we'll see.
Absolutely. I think they were allowed to win.
So we will see.
It's a communist nation. What, you don't think that they don't rig elections? I mean, come on.
Of course not. Ours are honest. You know there's
ours. Of course not. Yes, of course.
And the next article I definitely want to get to, we're running out of time quickly, because this is a sad story, but this is kind of article that makes me angry, and I'm sure it does you too, Melody. A lady said her Baltimore house was razed with 6 days' notice. R-A-Z-E-D. I'm mortified at how quickly this unfolded. This is a sad story. A demolition team tears down five adjacent properties on 1900 block of Holland Street, including the home of Francis Chase. Francis Chase sat on her front stoop as the bulldozer rolled up. 6 days earlier, a neighbor called her while she was at work. Now, she's working. She ain't sitting at home on her hind end. To tell her about the yellow signs posted on her home and the vacant row houses on either side of it, announcing that the properties are condemned and are set to be demolished. The public is warned to keep away, they read. Chase, 65 years old. Wow. Scrambled to figure out how soon and how to fight it, but ended up only having a few days to move decades of belongings. Some possessions, purses hung on doorknobs, storage bins, and furniture remained inside as a crew tore her house down on September 23rd. She lived in the home she owned. Now pay attention. She lived in the home she owned on the 1900 block of Holland Street for 26 years. I'm just really lost, Chase said the day of the demolition. Baltimore officials have broad legal jurisdiction to raise properties deemed uninhabitable or potentially dangerous, said law and housing experts. When inspectors believe an imminent threat exists, the city can use emergency condemnation. A notice can indicate that a property's land, structure, or equipment such as its furnace, plumbing, or electrical wiring is unsafe. Melanie, she worked and paid for that home of 26 years. They say it's unsafe. She has nothing else to go to. And while she sits and watches it, they tear it down with the belongings inside it. Now, that's really a free country. That's a place I want to live in. She worked and paid for it. She wasn't bumming off anybody else. She wasn't on drugs. And they tore down her home because they said it was unsafe. Melanie, if you live in a two-room shack and that's all you can afford, shouldn't that be your two-room shack?
I don't know if you've watched this program they have on the TV called Hoarders.
Oh, yeah.
And it's people who have, you know, problems, you know, mental problems, depression and so forth. And usually the city, the zoning, the county will come in and say, you have so long to clean it up. And if you don't, we'll remove you from the home. And we'll condemn the home. And it's like there's given so much power to these local governments anymore, even to the homeowners associations anymore. They have so much power over the homeowner. It's really amazing. Even a homeowners association, if you don't pay their stupid little annual fee, they can foreclose on you.
A homeowners association can foreclose on your home. And they didn't finance to start with. That's amazing. It is amazing.
It's amazing. It really is.
People that sign up for those things aren't too intelligent anyway. Why would you want to live where you had no say-so about your own home? That's one reason why I stayed where I am in West Virginia. We're not zoned at all. No one tells us what we can do or can't do. And I won't be told what I can do on my own land. As long as it's not affecting my neighbor, leave me alone. But the lady who worked for this home 26 years, Melody, if that's all she can afford, whose business is it where she's living if that's all she can afford? Leave her alone.
Leave her alone. I mean, if there isn't any danger. I mean, they do become, some of these homes might become a fire hazard to where they could, you know, if they, you know, did get on fire, it could affect the neighbors and the neighborhood and so forth, where you could basically say that could be a danger, you know, to other people. You don't want to hurt other people. So, but yeah, I agree.
And it's so sad. It is.
It really is. It truly is. And I figure even with these hoarders, if they want to live, that's their life.
I mean, it is sad. I understand caring for them, especially the families, but you can't run them out of their own place they work for.
No, I agree.
It is so sad.
Well, property tax is the same thing.
That's the whole point. Yes, it is.
Yep.
You never own your home. You never get to own your home and feel safe in your own home. You don't. And that's America. There was a time when, you know, even the King of England said that a man's home is his castle, and the king would not dare cross the threshold without being invited. That's no longer in this country, is it?
No.
I mean, if they come in with code enforcement, they come in with the housing authorities that you sign up for in your neighborhood and take your home. That's not the idea of freedom and liberty in my mind. Not at all. But again, people go in those in these house associations and sign up for them in the sense they've asked for that.
I lived in a homeowners association, and I mean, it was out in the country, you know, and you know, hey, I get it to some degree. And, you know, the fees were low and so forth, and it was my first home that I purchased down here, and I went to the meeting. I mean, there were 16 homes in this little deal, and I went in there, you know, to meet my neighbors and all this kind of stuff, and they were talking about one of the neighbors who hadn't paid her HOA for 3 years, and they didn't do it, but they were actually reading about foreclosing. They had taken liens against the house. The fees were $500 a year. That's all. That's all. $500 a year. And the woman was sick. She eventually passed away. They didn't get their little fees anyway. But I'm thinking, why would you do this to a woman that is sick? And you know what? The people in the division, I mean, they were, you know, they were builders and teachers and, you know, just...
Right.
And it's like, you got to be kidding me. How about creating a fund for when somebody gets in trouble, that they don't have to make those fees? Oh, no, you can't do that. How about helping people instead of condemning them?
Oh, what
and, of course, I don't live in that association anymore. But
what a
novel
idea.
But anyway, it's novel. We're out of time, maybe. Thank you, Butch.
You're welcome. Folks, y'all have a great Thanksgiving.
Same to you, same to the listeners, and be safe, good night, and God bless.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.